Thank you. Welcome to all of you to our Sunday morning worship service. It is good to be here, to come to worship, to meet together in this place to glorify God's name through song, through prayer, through scripture, the message, together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We are glad that you could join us. Just a few announcements to take note of. A number of youth are gone this weekend for their annual youth fall youth retreat, so are not here this morning. They are all meeting together at Camp Assiniboia and for this whole weekend, left on Friday and coming back later on this afternoon. We're saddened to hear that Rose Swift has passed away. She was not expected to be here long, but has passed away suddenly. And the funeral for her will be on Monday, tomorrow, 10:30 at the Winkler Funeral Chapel in Winkler. She is the mother of Yvonne Giesbrecht from our congregation. Take note of the announcement we had in last weekend about Austin Penner as well. He would certainly appreciate letters of encouragement. He values our prayers. And if you would like to go visit, there's application forms that need to be filled out so that you pass that process. And once that's all done, then you are free to come and go, as you can call them to arrange a visit with him. Others, announcements, just a reminder that our annual meeting is coming up on November 19th, and to have reports in by November 1st, Haiti would appreciate those coming in by November 1st. Give us another week and a half. Seth, could I ask you to make an announcement?
Good morning. As was mentioned last week, this week in our offering, we want to take up a special offering, something we haven't done in quite a while, a missions giving offering, and this week's going to be towards Eagle's Wings. So as was mentioned last week, during the month of October, there has been a donor who's willing to match donations up to $25,000. So the money we give today will be doubled. And, for those of us who are maybe forgetting, Eagle's Wings is an orphanage that we've been sponsoring or supporting for a long time. And they're not only an orphanage, but also an orphanage who is building up children in the Lord and leading them closer to Him. And we love what they're doing there. So if that's something the Lord's tugging on your heart to give to this morning, you can give to that in our regular offering this morning. So it says in your bulletin, there's an announcement about it that you can write out to Bloomingdale Mennonite Church. And it says kind of a long thing that you can put in the memo. But if you just write Eagle's Wings in the memo, that's perfect. But just write it out to Bloomingdale Mennonite Church as normal, but just with Eagle's Wings in the memo if that's something you'd like to do. If it's easier for you, you can also do it online. And there's also a link there in the announcements, but I think what is easier is just go to the Bloomingdale Church website, and there's just a easy Eagle's Wings link at the top of the page, and you just click that and it brings you there. So if you'd like to do either of those, that would be awesome, and I think it's exciting to get to support such an awesome organization together as a church.
Had someone tap me on the shoulder this morning and said, it's Cynthia Cron's birthday exactly today. And they said, we have to sing happy birthday for her. So let's do that. Me with my voice, I will give it a try. Please join me though. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you find Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. The best one you've ever had. There you go. Doesn't get much better than that, eh? Thank you. Are there other announcements we should be making this morning? Anybody else? I'm not sure if I've ever come across a gift that hasn't been opened. Unless, of course, the recipient wasn't there. I suspect most, if not all of us, appreciate receiving a gift. Somebody has put some thought into what they want to give. They've taken the effort to go find something. They probably spent some money in the process. It's the thought that counts, goes the saying. We acknowledge the thoughtfulness by opening the gift and expressing our appreciation. Now suppose you receive a gift with your name on it, and for whatever reason, you decide not to open it, and you just shelve it. And then one day, the person who sent the gifts comes for a visit, he notices it and asks about it. It's usually a fairly awkward moment. What we do with gifts speaks to our relationship and love and gratitude for the giver. We come to worship a God who has given us many gifts. Gifts of grace, of mercy, of life, eternal life, the gift of his Son, spiritual gifts. And as 1 Peter 4:10 reminds us, as each of you has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. If you hoard the gift, it will die. You open it, and you might be well surprised at what God can do. Let's bow to pray. We give you thanks, Father, for your many good gifts to us. And we ask for one more thing, and that is a grateful heart. Amen.
I was challenged too by that title of the message that Walter is preparing or has prepared for us. The Spirit has led him to speak, the unopened gift. And I pondered about that. What kind of songs do you match to that? What do you look for in songs? But the songs that I've chosen for today are all reflecting on the gift that God has, the responsibility maybe in some ways as well, but that God has given us is to further his kingdom work. And what are we doing with that awesome gift, with that responsibility? Are we using it? So we'll start off with number 426 in your hymnal, please. 426. And I would invite you to rise for this one.
Thy will, O
And over to number 104, please. 104. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Invite the ushers, please, to take this morning's offering. Let's end our prayer time this morning by together reciting the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we confess that you are Lord, and we confess our need for you, and we confess our continued desire to have your healing and hope flow through us to the world around us. On the basis of these confessions, we also want to name those times and occasions when we have been determined to walk the journey alone. Without your gifts of comfort, encouragement, healing, hope, your very presence to guide, confront, or persuade, our self-determination predominates. Forgive the preoccupation with self, the tendency to ignore your good counsel and seek only our own understanding. Thank you for your continued gift of forgiveness, which cleanses our souls, clears our minds, and lightens our pathway. For continued good harvesting, weather, we give you thanks. For safety and energy, we also give you thanks. And we pray that you would continue to watch over Laura and her family, Eagle's Wings, Ryan Thiessen, Benito Hernandez, Andrea Fair, John and Natalie. Give courage, strengthen their resolve, and grant perseverance for them and all of us on this journey of faith, which you have called us to. Thank you for the gift of prayer, which we acknowledge by praying together the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We want to invite children to come. Viola has prepared a story, and we invite her to share that with you.
Good morning. How are you today? We've been talking about gifts this morning a little bit already, and I think the message is going to be about gifts too. So I thought maybe we could talk about gifts too. Now here's a pretty big bag. What do you think could be in there? A gift that you might like? Now if you would get this gift, how would you open it? Would you carefully pull out these tissues? Lots of patience, careful that you didn't tear this paper. Or would you just... Which would you do? Depends, right? Oh, I see there's some smaller gifts in here. I wonder what could be in them. Should we check?
Okay.
Here's the first one. What does that look like? A game you could play? Well, let's open it, see what's in there. There's no game in there. There's a piece of paper. And it says sharing. So God has given us all gifts, and he's given us the gift of sharing as well. Now, sometimes when you're playing games, you're supposed to share with someone. And sometimes we just don't want to. It's always our turn and we want to win. And it's not fun when we lose. But sometimes it's nice to invite someone else to play with us and to share. So, let's see. Oh, look at this one. That looks pretty, doesn't it? Wonder what could be in there. Another note. What does that note say? It says kindness. How can we show kindness? Maybe when you go somewhere or at school, you see a child who's sitting all by themselves. They're not dressed very nicely, their hair is messy, and they're lonely. Could we show some kindness by inviting them to play with us? That might be an idea. That's a pretty shiny gift. Wonder what could be in here. It's another note. Oh, it's a pink note. It says, smile. Oh, when you wake up in the morning, do you wake up with a smile? Do you make your mom happy with your big smile in the morning? Depends. Maybe your mom isn't even smiling that morning either. Maybe you could try smiling at each other and see if your day would go better then. Here's another box. Does that look like a girly box, do you think? Let's see. What does this note say? Music. Now, some of you may sing well, or maybe you play an instrument well. Sometimes when you visit your grandma and grandpa, they would like if you sang a song to them, maybe together with a brother or sister. The gift of music is pretty special, or maybe you play an instrument that you could play for them. So music is pretty special to make other people happy too. Well, no more gifts. Oh, here's an envelope. There's always an envelope in a gift, isn't there? Now, what does this one say? It's a heart. It isn't even a card. Now, when you were born, Jesus gave you a heart. And the best gift that you can give him is to give him your heart. Let's remember that that's the most important thing we can do. And all the other gifts we've talked about, see if you can do some of that this week and make other people happy. Because Jesus gave us those gifts to share with others. Thank you.
Well, let's try and exercise one of those gifts. Let's make some music. Number 348, am I a soldier of the cross? Is the question that starts out. Number 348, and I think we're going to sing all six verses. It's a short song.
Thank you.
And page 10 over to number 358. Take My Life and Let It Be. We'll sing 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6, please. 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 25, 14 to 30. For context, the passage right before this is the parable of the 10 virgins. Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, another one 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thanks, Art. Thanks, Viola, for that excellent story. And for the excellent songs. Excellent singing and playing. What a bunch of talents we have here. Awesome. 4 short true stories. On the last week of August this year, our family had the privilege of going to my cousin's cabin for a week near Rushing River, Ontario. It was a wonderful time. Weather was perfect. The place was roomy. The boat and tubing were hilarious. The pontoon boat relaxing. The water warm for swimming. The eagles were entertaining. What a memory we were able to make as a family. Let me back up a bit. I had heard that my cousin had purchased a cabin a couple of years ago. My brother told me that, and my brother had done some work on the place, and he said that we should go and check it out sometime, and that it was nice. Yeah, I said, that would be cool, but at that time had any intentions of making the effort of going. Then about a year ago, my cousin invited us to come and join them at their cabin. We were most welcome. Again, I had no thought of taking them up on their invitation, but politely thanked them and said that we'd have to see if it would work out. Then this spring, my cousin again said that if we ever wanted to use their cabin, just let them know when, and they would make it work. At that time, I did not know our summer plans and said as much. Then in July, he asked if we were able to make it to their cabin. I said, almost without thinking, you bet. How about the last week of August? He says, perfect. So we met with them the week before to get the logistics, get directions and details. They told us a number of times, make sure you use everything that's there. I mean everything, towels, whatever's in the fridge, ATV, boats, kayaks, bedding. All you gotta do is bring food. What a gift. And while we were there, I had some time to relax and sit on the deck with some early morning coffee, and I was thinking, why was I so hesitant to accept this gift? Was it pride? Did I just not want to inconvenience them? Did I think that I would owe him one after this? It's hard for me to accept a gift like this with no strings attached and to think that people can be so generous and that it is okay to accept a gift. I also couldn't help think of the similarities of Jesus' invitation to accept salvation, a free gift that saves us from what we deserve. Why doesn't everybody just accept it? And there's a story about the unknown gift. Some of you have probably heard about this story about a gift that we received at our wedding. It's from my brother. He had asked me before the wedding what I would like as a wedding gift. I nonchalantly said, I'd like socks. So on the day we opened our wedding gifts, there were a number of pairs of socks. And I only discovered about 6 months later that he had put money in some of the socks. What a pleasant surprise. It still, to this day, makes me wonder what gifts God has in store for us if we are obedient children. How many unknown blessings are there waiting to be received? Then there's the story about the gift not accepted. A number of years ago, when Marilyn and I lived in Boisevain, we needed to have a routine car maintenance done. We did this in Brandon, which is a 45-minute drive away. And because that is where we had purchased the car, while this work was being done, we were spending some time with my sister and her husband. And while visiting, we were informed by the mechanic at the end of the workday that our vehicle needed some parts that made the car inoperable till these parts were replaced. So we were stuck in Brandon and we needed to get back home. My brother-in-law immediately offered his big Lincoln Continental that was in storage in his garage. Car was loaded. It was a nice car. And he would just call a friend that would open up his office, as his friend was an MPI broker, and he would get this classic car registered for us to take to Boisvane. I told my brother-in-law that I would not want to inconvenience him to go to such an expense to register the vehicle. I guess it would be over $1,000. So we did not accept his offer. Instead, we called Marilyn's brother to come to get us to take us home. He lived almost an hour away, but drove a VW Jetta, which would cost so much less than registering a vehicle for us to use. So I was not willing to accept the charity of one, but accepted the cheaper gift. Now, here's a part that still stings. My brother-in-law asked me while we were waiting for my brother-in-law to show, other brother-in-law to show up. After rejecting his offer, he asked, "What's the matter? Is not my car good enough for you?" Ouch. I robbed him of the opportunity for him to bless me with his generosity and to give me a gift. Was I too proud? And I tried to hide it by saying, "Oh, I was just trying to be practical." Or did I not feel worthy to accept the gift? One more story about a gift not used. I have here a gold coin. It says on here 1 ounce and 0.999 pure. It's not mine. This 1 ounce gold, that's 99 gold pure, says $50 on it. It has a previous date on it, but we all know that it's worth a lot more. I don't know all the details how my brother received this gift. I asked him what he thought it was worth. And he said disgustingly, "Nothing. It just sits locked up and isn't worth anything sitting there." "Somewhat true," I said. "What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do?" He said it was a gift and supposedly had sentimental value. We then discussed what the use of unused gifts were. What good gifts are they if they aren't used? That made me think. The tragedy of the unopened gift. When we receive gifts from someone, we are expected to use it. People do not give gifts for us to put on a shelf and never to touch. I remember as a child, I would feel bad if I didn't play with all my gifts because I knew that the gifts I received, no matter how large or small, were intended for me to use. There's a story of many years ago, missionaries would travel to other countries and work with tribal people, and they would bring and give them sundials. And the natives were so fascinated by these sundials that they put a roof over them. Is there something today blocking what God has given you? He has given us gifts, and they have a specific purpose. But if we do not use them, they are as useless as a sundial covered by a roof. Another tragedy of an unopened gift. Today in the church, many people are content without being involved in anything. Many people think that just attending services in a building is accomplishing what they needed to do and punching their time clock with God. Many are content doing just enough to make it by. God has entrusted us each with gifts and talents that He intends for us to use for the strengthening of the church. And for so many, we repeat this tragedy of the unopened gift. There's a story of a gentleman who recounts a bit of his childhood, and he says, "As a child, I used to collect baseball cards. I still have thousands upon thousands of cards. Most of the presents I had received had to do with my collection of baseball cards. I especially loved the older cards of the real great players that played. You know, the ones that many little boys ruined in the spokes of their bicycles. I loved them because they were worth more. They were a better investment. One time in particular, I remember my next door neighbor going through some baseball cards he had from when he was a child. Luckily for me, he knew nothing about baseball. He let me look through them and gave away many great cards because he had no idea what he had. On one occasion, as I dug through those old cards, I found a Nolan Ryan rookie card. It may not sound anything special to most people, but that card was an obvious treasure to me. First of all, Nolan Ryan may have been the greatest pitcher of all time. Better than you, Kirby. And secondly, it was his rookie card, which greatly increased the value. I took that card home and grabbed my book, which gave me the value of the card, and it was worth several thousand dollars. My neighbor had no idea what he had. Sadly, my parents made me take it back to him and let him know what an unopened gift he had there. When I was collecting baseball cards, I knew that unopened packs and boxes of cards were worth more than opened ones. But I hated leaving them unopened because I would never know what was inside. Another tragedy of an unopened gift. Many people have a gift that God has given them, and they refuse to use it for whatever reason. Perhaps today you are living the tragedy of the unopened gift. And I want you to know this morning that God has given each of us a different and special gift to use for the kingdom, and not using that gift hinders us from experiencing the full joy that God intended for us to have in Christ. The text this morning that Harley read, quite a story. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. I asked a couple of young adults to get their Google machines out and do a bit of calculating. You ready? Anybody got a Google machine? Yeah? You ready? Shania, you ready? Okay. We know that a talent is 75 pounds, right? So we take 16 ounces in a pound times 75, okay? And I heard this week that gold was worth about $1,200 an ounce. So 16 ounces times 75 times 1,200. What do you get? How much? $1.44 million. That's the guy with the 1 talent of gold that he received. If you were given a gift of $1.44 million, what an opportunity. Maybe you'd be able to do something with that. Now, would you feel so bad? Well, this guy got 5, you got 2, but you got 1.44 million. Not a bad deal. In this parable that Jesus told, there are many different variables. There are 3 different servants, 3 different gifts that they were entrusted with. The thing that Jesus is trying to point out, though, has nothing to do with the varying amounts that they were given, but rather with what the 3 different servants did with what they were given. Any time that a gift is given, the person who receives that gift must choose to respond in 1 of 2 different ways. 1, if the gift is too valuable to ever be used, and the 2nd is that the gift is too great not to be used. I believe there are several reasons why people refuse to unwrap or not use the gift they have been given by God. And the first one we're going to look at is gift comparison. We talked a bit about that in Sunday school. Perhaps today you are comparing your gift with other people's gifts. Perhaps you are looking at someone else who may be a 5-talent person and wishing you weren't the 2-talent person. I want you to notice that the 5-talent and the 2-talent person in this parable received the same reward because of their faithfulness to what they had been given, not to the amount they profited. They showed an equal amount of stewardship of what they had been given and received an equal reward. So many times we look at others in the kingdom and think as if they are better than we are, or we envy that they have a different or even better, a better gift or a more useful gift. Comparison of your gifts will lead to pride and envy, and we must come to enjoy and put to use what God has given us. We must prove faithful stewards of what God has blessed us with, whether we are speaking of gifts that he has given us, relationships, or even money. We never learned exactly why the 3rd servant simply buried his gift instead of putting it to good use. In fact, when I look at it, I begin to think, well, at least he saved. He didn't just let it all ride and take a risk. He was conservative with what he was given, wasn't he? Shouldn't the master have been thankful that the 3rd servant didn't lose that money? The master didn't lose the thing. Why was he so upset? The master was angry because he had left the servants in charge. He expected them to put to work what they had been given, and he wanted them to take a risk. He wanted them to use it. Perhaps the 3rd servant was jealous, and that he was only given a small amount in comparison to the others, so he decided to bury it. And maybe he was afraid of what would happen if he lost the money and didn't want to take a chance. The master delegated the varying amounts of talents. The scripture says, based on their ability. The third servant may have been jealous, but before he could be entrusted with 5 talents, he had to prove faithful with 1. I don't really know why he would have been too bothered. 1 talent is still a considerable sum of money, as we just heard, which during that time, that'd have been a lot of money. We have each been given gifts. Some people have different gifts than others, but that does not make them any less useful in the church. Perhaps your gift is different from mine, or even the person next to you, and that is all right, and that is how God made you. He has entrusted you with your own gift, and that it is not wrong that you don't have the same gift as someone else. You are not less significant. When it becomes a wrong is when you do not use that gift, no matter what it may be. No one is dispensable in the church. The scriptures call the church the body of Christ, and the people who make up the church are like the parts of the body, and all the parts are needed to make the body function as intended. All parts of the church are needed to make the church function as it was intended. I wonder how the church is hindered from doing what God intended it to do in the world by all the parts of the church not functioning as God gifted them to function. Comparison of gifts can lead to the tragedy of the unopened or buried gift. Another reason why we don't use our gifts is fear. Have you ever been asked a question about your spiritual life and lied about it? How's your prayer life? How is your time in God's Word? How are you holding up under the struggles you've had? If you have, and most people have, what is the reason for that? The main reason is probably fear. Fear of the way a person may respond to knowing that you have struggles, fear of embarrassment or pain, or fear of failure. A lot of times, we give into things that we know are wrong because of fear. Fear is what led Peter denying Jesus in his greatest time of need. And fear is what led Moses to not want to go before Pharaoh after God had called him. And fear made Gideon doubt God's power to use him. And fear made the Israelites want to go back into Egypt. The third servant in this parable told the master that he had hid the talent because he was afraid. The master didn't just forget the issue, because the main issue at hand was that it did matter what the servant did with what he was given. Fear of using our gifts often hinders us from being what God wants us to be. Fear of failing if we step out in faith, or maybe fear of rejection. Whatever the case may be, fear is not an adequate excuse for not using what God has given us. In the end, God is concerned about what we do with what we have been given. The question that Jesus will ask us when what we did with what he entrusted us. Do not let fear lead to the tragedy of the unopened gift. Another reason why we might not use our gift is laziness. We live in a world where laziness is made easy. Laziness is the failure to do what needs to be done when it needs doing. Not just physical laziness. There are many people who do not use their gifts that God has given them because they are lazy, because it would take some effort to put them into use. Our gifts are a blessing, and it is a privilege to serve God, but it takes some effort on our part to put those gifts to use to become a better steward of that gift. We may have to do some work to use that gift or better our gift. Most of us have put together furniture that came in a box. What I hate about those packages is to read on them, "some assembly required." I know what that really means in real English. It means you are going to spend hours putting this together, and you will be mad, confused, frustrated, and you will have many parts left over that are surely were supposed to go somewhere. Some effort was required on our part to assemble what we had purchased. Work is required to better our gifts and to put our gifts to work. In the parable that Jesus told, did you notice what the master called that third servant who buried the talent? He called him a wicked and lazy servant. Why was he lazy? Because it was much easier for him to take the gift and bury it than to sit around and think about what he could do. Was much more content being lazy. And I believe that is how many people in the church are with their gifts. They are content with being lazy and not using their gifts. Proverbs 15:19 talks about that. Laziness has consequences and leads to tragedy of the unopened gift. And I want you to know that God has given all of us a gift, and he expects us to use it in the church. Will we work and use our gifts, or will we be content being lazy and leaving the gift unopened? Another reason we don't use our gifts is comfort. Society truly values comfort. We have all sorts of inventions and contraptions to make comfort possible. We have mattresses, which boast of extreme comfort. We have cars and vans that seek to bring comfort and even allow kids to watch television in the back. Furniture is advertised according to their comfort levels. The best-selling chair is a La-Z-Boy, and we even have remote controls to make it so we never even have to get up from our La-Z-Boy. Taking the gift outside of the box is always a risk. If you decide to use a valuable gift, it can get uncomfortable, and you may be missing out on a hidden treasure. Comfort is not what God called us to. Sometimes coming to Christ or serving him means we have to step out of our comfort zones. It may mean that we have to do something that we wouldn't normally envision ourselves doing. It may mean sacrificing time, energy, or even money. It may mean that our wills are laid aside for God's will. It wasn't a comfortable thing for Peter to leave his nets and follow after Jesus. And Moses wasn't comfortable accepting God's call to lead the people of Israel. God has called us to use our gifts, and sometimes we are frankly more comfortable where we were than we will be using our gifts. Many people will never use their gifts because they are much more comfortable where they are. Another tragedy of the unopened gift. The master one day returned from his journey, and he wanted an account of what his servants had done with what he entrusted them with. He wanted to settle the accounts. The third servant tried to justify what he had done. He tried to worm his way out of it. Maybe he thought that if he had a good enough excuse, he would be exempt from the master's anger. I wonder how long he spent thinking of what he was going to say in response to the master when he returned. He probably spent more time trying to justify what he did not do than it would have taken him to do just what it was expected of him. There is no way that the master's return came as a shock to him, but I can assure of one thing. When that third servant saw the master had arrived, it probably wasn't a happy moment. He probably wasn't too excited to share the news with him that he had not done anything with what he was entrusted. Maybe he thought that the master returned too soon. Maybe he planned on eventually getting around to work he was called to do. Maybe he was extremely busy. Maybe he was going through some difficult times. Maybe work kept him busy. Family was probably crazy, and maybe his health wasn't great. The master's return may have just been sooner than expected. A lot of times we do that with God. We spend countless hours trying to justify why we aren't doing what we're supposed to do. We try to justify our sin, and we try to work our way around our complacency. We should not be surprised by the fact that Jesus is one day going to return and ask us to give account to him. I know that we view our day of giving an account to God as far off. We are like teenagers who are sometimes considered themselves invincible. We see the return of our master, of whom we must give an account, far off. We have every reason in the book for why we haven't done what we should have. We are just waiting for the timing to be right. The truth is, though, we cannot pull one over his eyes. There is a God that we will one day stand before, and we must give account to him of what we have done with what he has given. And he's going to settle our account, and we do not know the time of that account giving. Did you notice what the master said to the two faithful servants? He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." There is a reward for those who prove faithful, and they are entrusted with more. We should not expect God to keep giving things to us until we can prove that we can be faithful with what we have. This is true whether we are talking about time, money, relationships, or our talents. I want you to know that Jesus could take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and multiply them and feed thousands. God could take a weak, stuttering vessel like Moses and use him to lead thousands of Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. God can take a cross that was stained with blood of his only son and lead to the empty tomb. God can take 12 followers who have seemingly no education and have a hard time grasping the basic principles Jesus taught and change the world through their labors. God is powerful, and he can take our little and turn it into a lot. He can take our weakness and use it to uplift the kingdom. He can take our giftedness, which he has given us, and use us for something that makes a difference in eternity. However, God has given us the gift. It is up to us to open it. It is up to us to harness it, to improve in it. Will we all today stop making excuses, stop comparing, stop being afraid, stop being lazy, step out of your comfort zone, and use your gift? You would not believe what potential you have in the kingdom of God. In the church, everyone is a someone, and no one is disposable. Amen.
In response, let's turn to number 350 in the hymnal, A Charge to Keep I Have, A God to Glorify. Number 350.
Stand and pray. Lord God, the giver of gifts, as we go from this place, may we be good stewards of the gifts you have given to each one of us. May we use them for your church, for your body, for your honor and glory. Amen.